Twilight's Nightmare, Chapter 25, Attack of the Paperwork. It was not often that the Royal Guard Intelligence Services had all senior members attend the same meeting. It was unheard of for said meeting to happen in the throne room, and it was unbelievable that said meeting was happening instead of the first half of Day Court. Paper Pusher was extremely pleased that he was not anywhere near the front row. He was hoping his pale gray coat would do a passable job of blending in with the white of the throne room, and his burgundy mane might possibly be mistaken for part of a banner or the red carpet. Unlike many ponies here, Paper Pusher was only a glorified organizer, and he knew it. Ensuring the right paperwork got to where it was needed was part of his talents. The only reason that he even had his job was because he was one of the few with high enough security clearances to even see the paperwork that he managed, let alone read it. Princess Celestia spoke in level tones with her usual calm and loving way, but somehow it did nothing to lessen the sense of dread that he felt. Every pony in the room knew that she wasn't happy. Apparently, a major threat that RGIS had confirmed it over a decade ago had been found alive and well. Said threat also happened to be the one responsible for the near disaster in Manhattan and an attempt on Princess Twilight's life.
I wonder how many of us will be getting early retirements,
he thought as he cast his eyes around his colleagues. Some were upset that they had disappointed the princess, and others were annoyed that they were being held accountable for their predecessor's errors. If the stories of how heated the princess could get when she got annoyed with one of her previous students, that only recently got removed from a pony of interest list, were true, then he imagined it could get quite toasty in here. In his mind's eye, he could see a mountain of paperwork that would need to be gone through growing. The princess was going on and on about how no stone could be left unturned, and that every assumption and every conclusion for the past 10 years needed to be re-examined in light of the warlock's continued freedom. No pony managed to catch even the slightest hint that Manhattan would be attacked, so presently, nowhere was safe. One bit of good news was that extra bits were being allocated to RGIS, and they would need it. The princess seemed to want field agents everywhere in Equestria at once, but currently, there weren't even enough agents to do a quarter of that.
For an immortal being, she's rather impatient,
he thought in the safety of his distant position. Celestia's gaze stopped on him, and he froze. It was like she was looking right through him. At that very moment, if he could have sunk through the floor, he would have. Her gaze moved on with no pony else seeming any of the wiser about his almost death by heart attack. Paper Pusher took a quick shower before making his way through the sea of panicked RGIS ponies. On his way to his office, almost every pony he passed dumped more and more files and folders on him. His mind was trying to work out how he could possibly sort through all this paperwork and have it done by first thing last week. Blue Unicorn number 6 argued with Green Earth Pony number 4. White Pegasus 9 and Yellow Pegasus 3, who had a commendation for valor in combat, both hovered nearby as they talked about the odds of it turning into a fight. Paper Pusher knew it wouldn't go that far because Pink Unicorn 7 was on holiday this week, so he continued on his way. He wasn't even halfway to his destination, and both his horn and his back were aching. Just the thought of the stairs were causing his legs to consider going on strike. He paused, considering. There was only one mare who could process this much paperwork and get answers quickly. One of the few ponies of which he could remember their names without checking his files. He turned and changed direction. He was glad that her office wasn't up any stairs from where he was. The unassuming door hid one of the strangest mares in all of RGIS. Being what appeared to be a hybrid of a Pegasus and some large-winged ancient earth pony or maybe a rock, whatever her ancestry, she was very good at her job. He knocked on the door and pushed it open, checking her desk to see if anti-discord donuts were still in place. It even confused him, but for some reason, whenever they were missing, or it changed into a different type of food, it meant Discord was somewhere in the building. His safety from another immortal being confirmed, he called out into the office.
Candace, I think you might need to cancel your vacation for the next few years.
The first of several pony-sized stacks of paperwork floated into the room behind him. Every time he looked at her, his mind paused. She didn't fit in any of his mental boxes. He just didn't know how to file her away. And he couldn't help but take in every detail about her as if it was the first time that he saw her. Today, the first thing to catch his attention were her well-toned wing muscles and how they connected to her abnormally large wings. She had them spread slightly with a near-fluorescent white glow of her magic around the first wing bones near her body. Every time he saw her use magic, he did a double take, checking to see if there was a horn on her head, but today's check revealed that, yet again, said horn was still missing. He actually still had money on her either being a secret love child of Celestia or part of some cancelled program to make alicorns that went wrong. If it was not for the unicorn supremacists and the scorn that they leveled at hybrid ponies, her white coat and wings with silver tipping around her hooves, feathers, and ears would be the envy of many mares in Canterlot. Her lemon-yellow mane and tail were styled long, but naturally, just a couple of hair clips holding it all in place. It could have been taken for a fashion model, he thought. The fact that she had tail feathers visible near the base of her tail would make ponies think that she was some sort of primitive pony, one that hailed back from when flight magic wasn't yet strong enough to stabilize flight without them. He's had to lose more than one request from the nobles who wanted her removed for being a poorly transmuted spy or other such rubbish. The most ridiculous one was that she was an alien from another world. If she even was, she would have to come through the mirror that no pony was meant to know about, and that was far too well guarded for that. Her fluorescent white glow of magic held several boards and various other pieces of equipment one would find in a classroom. As he entered, the floating item settled into place, ready for the next assignment. Looking over her shoulder at him, Candace replied with humor evident in her voice.
It can't be that bad. Here, let me see what you got there, paper.
The look of amusement fell from her face as soon as she spotted the stack of paper that was as tall as she was.
That's gonna take a couple of days, at least.
She turned fully around and folded her wings across her back, the tips crossing just above her tail. He did his best not to smile, but he was fairly sure it came across as a sympathetic grimace. That's just the index. The rest is still outside, he said, nodding with his horn through the open door.
Oh well, bring the rest in. Let's see what we're in for,
she said with determination. He nodded and set to work, bringing in the stacks one at a time. He was certain that there were at least 1.5 more stacks than when he'd set them down outside. He arranged the stacks in order. By the time he was done, it seemed like the room was being held up more by the paper than the stone. Using his magic, he added labels to each pile, commenting about them as he did so.
So here we have all the financial records for the faculty at Celestia School for Gifted Unicorns. Next, we have all the applicants for said school and everything known about them up to this point. That stack is the basic records for every dark magic incident RGIS had dealt with in the last 10 years. And the next few stacks each go back a decade at a time.
He paused, looking unhappily at the last stacks marked with the princess's seal. He hated when things were not filed correctly.
And the rest of them are unsorted files that have been sent down from the palace that could be of some use, apparently.
He saw her looking at each pile and shock floated to one of the boards and started writing as he spoke, notes about the contents of each stack being scribed onto the blackboard.
Thank you, paper. I'm gonna need some special accommodations for this one. So, how long do I have to filter all this?
She asked him. He pulled out a note from one of the stacks.
Princess Celestia wants it completed by this time last week, and Princess Luna will be expecting a report from you in less than a week, if you can manage it.
He saw her take one more look around the stacks of paper.
Well, realistically, I could have a report ready in a month or two, but if they want this in a week, I'm gonna need a small warehouse and a week's supply of stimulant potions from Luna. It's a good thing I have temporal acceleration spells for this. This is gonna burn me out. And just because of this, I'm gonna have to take a day off just to sleep after. And then I'll be able to deliver the report.
He mentally paused as she called Princess Luna just Luna.
Should I bet on her being Luna's child, or is she just that distracted?
He thought.
I think we still have some of that super strength coffee that was confiscated from the Elemental Laughter in secure storage.
He jokingly offered. Turning to leave, he paused for a moment.
Should I grab some zebra potions as well?
I'm not sure I could survive whatever Pinky has managed to concoct this time.
Candace replied, a look of seriousness showing that she wasn't kidding.
Last thing I want is a caffeine-induced heart attack.
Well, at least it's not explosive like the bash before last.
I thought that she was making charges for her party cannon at the time. Was I mistaken?
Candace questioned.
No. She just seems to be getting better at trying to get around the nationwide ban on her having caffeine.
He intoned.
I also shouldn't be risking the zebra potions. I need Alicorn-level safety guarantees for this.
He scribbled the requested items on a piece of paper, having her sign it.
If they haven't sent the quartermaster out on a mission, and assuming Princess Luna approves, you should have it in a few hours.
Thank you, Paper Pusher. I hope the rest of your day goes better than it has so far.
Candace said as he exited. Strangely, she could always be counted on to treat him with respect.
Maybe that's why I don't mind that she doesn't fit in one of my mental boxes. Or maybe she just needs her own.
He pondered, as yet another pony unloaded more urgent paperwork on him. Needless to say, Candace is definitely a very interesting pony. Not in a bad way, of course, and her diligence of work would cause quite a lot of jealousy, or even envy, because it's that damn good. Now let's get on to our diligent donators. Top donators Peter Coulthard, Jayton Man, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Magazine, Crazy Killer 557, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, Runescythe 9852, Hunter Norman, Stephen Bingham, TacoCat 598, Dash of Evergreen, Rhiney Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Talrasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ronin Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Sky Uchiha, Leslie Perkett, Jordan Peterson, Crimson Kids in a 9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Needs a Life, Lon Biehenek, and many more amazing people. Thank you all so much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.